This is RSBNB Update, episode 480, recorded Friday, August 29th, 2014. We're out of tissues. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. This week, just us normal co-hosts here to talk about an update that is many years old. One of the early updates from we were around, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, one of the ones I actually liked when it first started.
Yeah, Barbarian Assault.
Yes.
It was one of the first mini-games, one of the first true group mini-games to RS, after Castle Wars and everything. It was in the era when mini-games were being added. So, it's about time that they took a look at what Barbarian Assault is and what kind of changes could be made to it. And that's exactly what we were given this week. We gave it a bit of a go, didn't we? We did normal mode rather than hard mode, which I think is fine.
Well, we tried hard mode. We tried hard mode, however, my internet was starting to give me problems again.
Yeah, well, that's nothing to complain about right now because we're talking about the update. But, you know, Barbarian Assault was old. Old in the sense that it's a piece of content that you look at and it just feels old. Old before RS went HD. Old before all these model upgrades, old before RS3, old before the Sixth Age. Barbarian Assault was
that old.
Huh?
Are you that old?
Well, no, I'm not that old, but I am that old in RS.
Well, Barbarian is actually younger than you.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, it is younger than our characters, but still, nonetheless, in the greater scheme of things, compared to the vast majority of updates out there and, you know, what we normally talk about, it is an old piece of content. So I think that this update was warranted, and people had probably been asking for this for quite some time, because I know there is a pretty strong following of Barbarian Assault on World 6, which is kind of where we started off, and it was busy. But I have some doubts that we'll get to a bit later. Main things that happened this week with Barbarian Assault is that, of course, there's the new hard mode. Some rewards have been tweaked. The UI has been given a bit of polish. Some new rewards entirely. And some of the creatures got graphical updates, and as did the area as well, the arena. So overall, this is just a pretty much of a polishing type of update with, you know, a few little extras here and there along the edges. So at the end of the day, what did you think of the experience coming from the old Barbarian Assault?
It was nice. One thing I look forward to is all the new eggs that they have more abilities. Before, it was basically poison, stun, or attack. Blue one was always relatively very worthless because nobody really wanted the blue one. It didn't do anything. Red one is what made people want it because that actually hurt people. Now what they've done is they made blue lower the stats. The red one still does damage, and the green one is used to power up your allies. You shoot at your friends.
Okay.
You shoot at your friends, and you actually make them better.
Yeah.
Make them diversify. They actually made the eggs more useful.
And that's good. I mean, in the one wave of hard mode that we did get to complete, one of the creatures did use an ability on you. So these creatures do use evolution combat abilities. So it is modern in that regard. Overall, I think the normal mode is as easy as it was before if you have a competent team put together, meaning you know everyone and everyone's got a defined role going into it, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but then we're the group of you, me, Earth, and a couple others, and Mike as well, we're all really all experienced players. We just want to try this out. And,
yeah.
It's not, that's not the target.
And that's what I mean. So it was easy for us. And I assume that with proper guidance and, you know, reading the manual and falling down a couple times and maybe talking to the NPCs around the place, defeating the Penance Queen in the normal mode is a good way for people to get their feet wet. And like you said, everything is just much more refreshed. The eggs, the NPCs itself, and the area. So I don't think there's much to talk about on that regard. Hard mode itself is where everything that you want to be doing now is. And it's worth noting that you do need to do a round of normal barbarian assault before you can do hard mode. So in order to unlock the Penance King, you must first kill the Penance Queen at least once since the rework. So with that being said, we did have to do that, and then your internet did kind of peter out after that. So the thing that we want to talk about pertaining to hard mode is not necessarily, you know, that things get harder along the way, and it's just a much more complicated experience, which is what players want at a higher level. It's what happens after that, and specifically that the Penance King does use a different combat type than the Penance Queen, so you guys do need to be ready for that. Ranged armor and a crossbow is the thing that you want to bring into the battle with you for that. And then once you defeat the Penance King, you unlock a slew of new rewards. Now, you know, given that, you know, it's just a version of Barbarian Assault that's harder and geared at higher levels, I think that the rewards are okay and not necessarily what Barbarian Assault needed. So we'll talk about the rewards now, unless you have anything else you want to say pertaining to hard mode.
Nothing to really say much about hard mode because we didn't really dabble in it too much. It is harder to kill the king. A couple of things you really have to actually work as a team. But a good group, we can do it. Just remember that if you are, you may want to range or mage and not go melee.
All right. So, after you've killed the Penance King, and there will be updates on the wiki as of yesterday on Thursday, so we can actually go to the official RS wiki and see what all the mechanics are. So they gave us a, you know, a 2-day period to try and figure it out, and then we are given that. But insignias are the main new reward, and these are pocket slot items that relate to the Barbarian Assault roles, but sit outside of the main game. Now, there's four of them. The Attackers, Defenders, Collectors, and Healers insignias. What do you think?
Okay. What do I think of these things? I like them. Most people kind of complain is that they're useless and everything else, but they have to also remember, Shane, the Barbarian Assault isn't what's the word I'm looking for? Going for the max player, 130 plus players here, is going for the ones between maybe 100 to whatever. They're not going to have 90 and get go to ports and make scrimmages. They're not going to have the shards of Zaros. Actually, they may have the shard of Zaros. To go to God Warrior's Dungeon, they probably won't go down there that much anyway to kill the boss at that level. And this is something they can use. Something to just fill up a slot, not make things not empty.
Yeah, that's so fair enough.
They can strive for.
Like, it's not something I think that you and I need particularly. Just to give you two examples, they all have a passive and an active effect, and the active effect is charged by using an insignia recharge token that can be obtained when you kill the Penance Queen. So you still do need to do the Penance Queen sometimes if you don't want to do the Penance King to get these, because you always get the tokens with the King, but not necessarily the Queen. Now, the passive attacker's insignia does a small damage over time effect up to 200 while attacking. And the active takes it up to 2,000, and there's a chance to apply these. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of a nice add-on compared to abilities that you could be using and whatnot. So, nice way of raising the DPS, I guess. But like you said, for somebody who has access to the player owned ports, Scrimshaws, or if you're in God Wars and you have the Shard of Zaros, I think those will be items that you're going to rather have instead, like a Vampirism scroll or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but you're also assuming these people have access to ports and are all the way upgraded and have the levels.
I know, that's why I said
many of them will have 90.
Yeah, for people that don't. So it's a nice way of, you know, maybe raising the DPS of the upper end of the mid-range players, the upper middle class of combat. Now, the collector's one is pretty much a skilling insignia, so to speak. Acts as a ring of wealth, 5% bonuses to agility, fire making on pyre ships, and 5% chance of ensuring a mining rock doesn't disappear when it's mined, and increases the chance of chewed bones on mithril dragons. So that's a passive. And then active is, you know, once again, like the ring of wealth, double the effect. 10% bonus to the agility and fire making on pyre ships, and 10% chance for a mining rock not to be consumed when struck. You know, I guess if you're mining rune ore or adamant ore or something like that, this might be one you want to look at specifically for the collector's insignia. So there's an idea right there, because I don't think there's any non-combat pocket items right now, are there?
Non-combat pocket items. Well, there's some of the scrimshaws can use it for skilling, but whether you would rather use the ancient bones for vampirism scrimshaw is a different story. Most of the other ones are lower level. They like help you with trees or mining and stuff.
Yeah, but and passive, remember, you know, there's also the resourceful aura, which does the same thing as well. So I assume those would stack to give you potentially 20% chance of not exhausting a rock when you use it. So that's 1 in 5. Now, you know, with the caveat that if you're a ports person, you have access to the scrimshaws already, you might not want these. But the thing that I am most excited about here with these insignias is the defender's one that increases the stats of your armor by 25 for the passive and for 150 on the active, and 50 or 300 if wearing a shield. So this is effectively a way of making, you know, that bearer's armor just a little bit better, right?
You're a tank.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something I've said that would be interesting in RS before, is, you know, have the option to customize pre-existing equipment to, you know, maybe give set effects. So that if you have the barrows, which I think is still truly remarkable that the barrows items are really only one of the few that have set effects, make them something special. So you want to kind of keep those around. And that's why I'm excited about the Defender's insignia.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the one I would go for.
Yeah, but would you ever do hard mode anyway? You said would, not see. You said would, not will.
Exactly. And, you know, it all comes down to opportunity cost, doesn't it? Would you and I rather be doing barbarian assault, or would we rather be working on our skills? For me, that's an easy question to answer. The only time in the past that I have done barbarian assault is when I have a group of people that I know and want to do it with me. So that kind of limits it. But what about you on that note? Like, would you specifically go do barbarian assault, level things to 5 just in order to have these insignias?
Well, for one thing, Shane, I actually really did enjoy barbarian assault in the past. I actually am all maxed out on all my skills. I just haven't killed kings enough. I may go with my clan and see what they want, if they want to go there or not. I want to try some hard mode. I wanted to give the king a try. Whether I would get all 4 of them, probably not. There's the attacker one I find very insignificant for me.
Yep.
The XP and the collector insignia and healer sounds interesting. Defenders, well, I almost have one of the best armors in the game. I'd rather use that for vampirism.
Yeah, I agree. And just to say, while we're on this topic, the healer's insignia passive is increases your prayer bonus by 10% and increases health restored by food by 1% as well. And prayer bonus is 10% for active as well. And health bonus jumps to 5% for food with that. Mm. So, I mean, let's say on a shark that heals 2,000 life points right now, that effectively brings the shark up to 2,100.
Yeah, that 21, that extra 150 can, you know, adds up.
Especially yeah, it when you're does. Bossing. But once again, would you rather have vampirism or would you rather have a healer's insignia?
Well, if you're out of ancient bones, use this as a backup.
Yeah, I guess that works. And by vampirism, I'm just, you know, referring to the vampirism scrimshaw, not necessarily the aura, since we are comparing pocket items here right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, there's one problem with this, I think. And the problem ultimately comes down with these insignias is that you can go get the insignias once. You can get all four of them once. And, you know, I'm not convinced that the draw is enough, the reward is enough to have people coming back to Barbarian Assault every other week to kill the king in order to get these recharge tokens to turn them into active scrolls. I don't think people are interested in doing Barbarian Assault that much. So
well, keep in mind, there's passive and active. If you put in active, that's when it uses up the charges.
Exactly.
You can leave it as passive. So I think that's what most people would do, just leave it as passive. I mean, you only have so many ancient bones. 5% in agility is quite nice, especially when you're not 99 yet.
And, you know, that's the thing, is that they are passive in that regard. And the passive ones are the passive... what are we calling them? Insignias are certainly enough to be a draw to get. So I don't think people are going to be coming back to Barbarian Assault to do this. And
I think some people would.
There's a title and updating existing reward, so the Pendant's Trident still has a chance of saving at least one rune when casting spells. The Master Trident has a greater chance, and the Trident's now after water stabs and possess a special attack called Reap, which does up to 200% damage of your active spell. The Penance Horn and Master Horns are now cosmetic items, as the double XP they give is now given through the new bonus XP system. So,
oh, great. So now adding on to the bonus we already have.
Exactly. And, you know, we talked about this when we were doing this, is that isn't it true that Barbarian Assault, when it first came out, was a way of getting bonus XP in these skills with the Pendant's Horn? But not anymore. And the reason that's the case is we have so much bonus XP, it's coming out of our ears. And this is just another reason why I think that with this update, it's a good way of providing a short, you know, jump start to what Barbarian Assault is, but it doesn't extend its longevity for the next 10 years, because people are going to get these rewards, they're going to level up to level 5, and unless they're diehard Barbarian Assault fanatics, they're not going to keep coming back to this piece of an update, which I think is something that really needs to be looked at for all future content reworks, is that let's ensure that when we update this content, we're not only making it so it's a good first playthrough experience, but let's make it so people want to come back and play it again, which I don't think this update does, and that's a problem with it in my view.
Okay. I think people would come back, probably not as much as many people would. Jagas would hope I think people would come back, not in the same numbers as, you know, any other first day update, 0 day update, but I think there's still going to be a population of Barbarian Assault people there. Heck, you know, when I first did it, I did it because I really enjoyed it and it was fun, and I did it to get level 5 and everything. And I wasn't going for the horn. I don't think the horn was really there at the time. But I went for the points.
Barbarian Assault World 6 now has 865 people in it on a Friday evening.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think that this pretty much covers this update entirely. And if you're a Barbarian Assault fan, you're always going to be doing Barbarian Assault. And if not, it's something you just, you know, pass through and do once in a while. And, you know, there you go. You're back to normal. So one final note from me on this is that I was kind of hoping we'd see the armors reworked so that they're not level 40 gear. Because when you're leveling up, you get level 40 gear, the amount of time it takes to get from 40 to 50 or even 60 is really, really insignificant. And it just feels like the armor that you get from the Barbarian Assault here is, you know, pretty useless, especially for high levels. So
okay.
I would have liked to see a bit of an improvement on these armors, maybe an elited version that brought them up to level 70 or 75 stats using Barbarian Assault points. That would take a good amount of time to get. Anyways, you have anything else on this?
No, but I'm just going to say give it a try. I've always kind of enjoyed Barbarian Assault. Although I think my only pet peeve is I wish they really redo the canon interface. I like how they changed the eggs, but it's just hard to know what's there. I think one thing I would like to do is give a little count next to it of how many each one is left, so you know if you can shoot it or not.
Yeah, that would be good.
Hoping that there's something there. That's my little thing. But I like what they've done to green eggs and made them useful. Blue eggs, semi-useful. I guess it'll be more useful in hard mode. Red ones are always the best.
I think All right. Well, that's it for this Barbarian Assault update. Maybe we'll revisit it in another couple of years.
Well, anyway, let's see what next update is. Anyway, next up we have some tweaks and fixes. So, Shane, what do you got for the patch notes?
Well, I mean, aside from the obvious new seasonal high scores for total killed Penance Queen and Penance Kings, there are a couple of things in the patch notes that caught my eye, and those are that Commander Zilyana kills now count in hard mode for Soul Reaper. So if you had Commander Zilyana as your task and you were doing hard mode, well, that wouldn't exactly count for Soul Reaper, which is rather unfortunate. Abyssal Demons and have had their models and animations update. They look slightly more energetic now. They glow.
Don't disappear when they hit?
Hmm?
They don't shrink when you hit them?
No. Okay. They, you know, I kind of wonder if this is foreshadowing something. You know, maybe are we going to see some sort of Abyssal quest at some point? Maybe. I don't know, because, you know, sometimes these get updated, they do foreshadow that they're going to be used in an upcoming quest or something.
Well, they also did the Karaz monster. They updated his animation and models as well.
Right.
A lot of little ninja fixes as well. I just think they wanted to make it look nice.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a good amount of bloom lighting on this as well. So it was a nice surprise because, you know, we've had Abyssal Demons at the very beginning. Then we have the model that we have now. And then we got this further updated one. So it's always nice to see these tiny changes like this. Next one's a bit of a funny one. The click area on the Wilderness Canoe Station interface has been corrected to prevent players from getting lured to the non-existent Treasure Island.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Treasure Island. Shiver my timbers.
Yeah, so I think that this was an issue pertaining to You know, the little canoe station in the wilderness that you could go to where you'd ultimately come out in the wild. And I'm guessing the click area was too big, but I haven't taken that canoe in years, so I can't attest to what the exact problem was.
I haven't taken the canoe either. I remember telling someone to take the canoe before the lodestones came out.
Yeah.
I need to get to Lumbridge from Edgeville. It's like, anybody got a spare in Law Rune? There's a canoe over there. Oh, yeah. But I think so many lodestones now. It really makes it going anywhere almost easy, too easy.
Yep. We agree with that. All right. Anything in the patch notes for you?
And they also made changes to the animations for Bones to Peaches, Alchemy, Superheat, Enchant, Charge, or Bones to Bananas, and stunning animations have been updated as well.
Oh, that's good. So a bunch of animations everywhere. I haven't high elked anything this week. Let me actually just have a look and see, because I remember last time High Elk was updated, there is always some question as to, you know, is this being updated to a point where the animation is going to be too long and it's going to slow down our magic XP on aggregate. So that's always something that worries people around here. So let's just see what this new animation looks like, because it always depends on that, you know? All right.
Mm-hmm. While you're doing that, one minor little thing I think many people would like. An Erexor preset name has been added to the bank preset system. Those who enjoy killing it, they'll probably like that, so you can just click and go.
Ah, that's interesting. You know, if you use the ring, the Explorer's Ring, and you high elk something, apparently, you can't see the animation. So I wasn't expecting that to happen. It's a high elk, one of these teleport scrolls. High alchemy.
Shane.
Yes.
You think they would make it an enchant X? That would have been nice.
Yeah, it would be.
Especially for me.
Yeah, this new animation actually is purple, and it shows coins that are falling over your head. So it does fit nicely with what High Alchemy does for you. All right. I'm good for patch notes. How about you?
Yeah, nothing new. It was interesting.
All right. Well, this week's polling update actually brings us two polls, which seems to be a bit of a difference compared to recent events, in that the polling front has been pretty quiet. But we have two this week. The first one pertains to the Christmas event, and we get to choose one of the things that we'll end up doing. So what did you choose?
I don't mind.
Okay. I chose ice skating for a number of reasons.
We should go sledding again.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? That would definitely be a nice wintry thing to do, and you know, we only did it in that one quest, and I think reviving it really, really would show
different. It was so nice to be able sledding in RS. Like, I so remember how fun that was. Like, this is so cool.
Yep. So sledding would be nice, but unfortunately it's not there. One of the things that we, at least I think, is very important is that we all choose the ice skating event. And for a number of reasons, it just doesn't seem at the core of it that killing a boss or killing other people in PvP is the right thing to be doing at Christmas. And, you know, that's what I talked about on this week's supplemental on YouTube. So there will be a link in the show notes to that where you can find it. And you know, really, when it comes down to it, we got to remember what the whole season is about. So I would highly encourage everyone to give that a listen. And then if you agree with that, change your vote to ice skating, even though there's only about three days left from the time of recording this.
Well, the next one, we had a little how is Barbarian Assault. I actually thought it was okay. But many people said I have not play. I want to play, but I haven't played it. But also, a good majority is that I don't want to play it.
Yeah. Yeah,
Well, those.
people want to play it but haven't played it yet. And with this only being out for a couple days, I think maybe it's a little bit too early to ask a question like this. What do you think?
People aren't in like the first 2 weeks of classes. They're trying to figure out what the heck is going on and try and also learning that an 8 a.m. college class is impossible.
Yeah, that could be it too. And I mean, 7% said they enjoyed it, 5% okay, 3% didn't like it. That's only 15% of people that have actually touched the content so far. So definitely a learning experience for Jagex with this poll. I said it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of what we talked about earlier. So I think that's the safest option to choose here. But 29% don't want to play it. That's kind of concerning, isn't it?
It's Jax.
Yeah, but people should still want to play Barbarian Assault because it's a new update, shouldn't they?
Yeah, but well, considering some men are those who really care only about PVMing and whatnot.
Or skilling and, you know, updating their levels and everything pertaining to that, maybe. So,
and you have those who have characters who are only level 3 and but have 99 almost everything else.
Yeah. And, you know, this just goes into what I was saying about, you know, Barbarian Assault. It's a good thing to do and unwind with. But once you're done getting these insignias, you have very little reason to go back. And 29% of the people aren't even going to touch it here. So.
Okay. Well, they don't want to touch it. They don't want to touch it.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. Anywho, let us move on. The companion app. It's been updated into an actual application on the App Store and Google Play.
Yay.
Did you
have it?
Yeah, I do. Did you grab it?
Actually, I haven't yet. Considering it's working, I don't think it's a good idea for it to start beeping.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a couple of things that could be improved with it, I think. Main one being is that sometimes there's a login issue where it says your account has already been logged in into another location. You can't log in on the app if you have the lobby up on your phone, for example. I think it would be nice, you know, like let's say you go out or something, you just happen to forget that you have the lobby up on your computer. Well, you detect a login from the companion and a desktop client is at the lobby, log the desktop client out. I think that would be a good thing to do, regardless of whether or not, you know, it's an ethical thing to do or not.
Okay.
Overall, the companion does well on Grand Exchange. Push notifications, you sell something and the notification of when it sells is instant, which is good. It just feels a little bit rough around the edges in that it's not fully optimized, but that will come with future releases, I'm pretty sure. So,
and it's from, and it's an official update.
Yes. Yes. You have no idea.
It's official from the site.
How many times people have, you know, tried to create apps on the App Store for RS and they've been unofficial. And, you know, that just really puts a bad taste in someone's mouth like mine when there's an app that, you know, it's doing something RuneScape related, but it might not be the safest thing to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy about this. Plus, being a native app, like we've said before, this is one step closer to having player-owned ports and, you know, mobile-specific RS content on your phone. So definitely a step in the right direction.
Woo! Okay. Let's see. We talked about the... And we have the Adventures Log, Skill History, and Milestone. They made some minor changes to it. So, just to go over it quickly, but if you want to know how you're doing in a particular month and want to compare it to your friends, you can with how the thing is set up. So each skill has its own bar graph showing how much you've gained each month. Data start from March 2014, and once enough time has passed, will stretch as far back as a year. And we also have the skill milestone, like you set a goal on the skill page to see a progress bar showing how far you are from them. Choosing from something simple all the way to 200 million XP.
Yeah. It's a nice...
We have that already on us.
Yeah, we do. And we have it in a way that's, you know, better in terms that's more granular. Because right now, it appears as though you can only change the level goal to a certain level for all the skills. So you can't set, say, level 120 farming, but level 99 summoning or 99 divination. It sets it to 120 for all of them. Seems kind of like a bit of an oversight on this regard, but that's really the only problem I see with this. And, you know, showing 1 year of data, okay, that's nice, but we have browsers that can track lots of data, so maybe we could have more than that. Please give us all time. Since you started tracking in March, I think that would be nice. Please, as a little humble request with a cherry on top. I don't really ask for things with a cherry on top all that often.
Okay, Shane. Cherry on top. Whipped cream? Ice cream in the middle? Sprinkles? Oreos? Peanuts?
No. All those things are disgusting except for the peanuts.
How could you hate Oreos?
They're just... Ew. No, they're not good at all.
Well, you hate everything that's actually delicious. Okay. Anyway, Treasure Hunter Aces of Trades, during this weekend, they are going to release some... These are some new possible wins or prizes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over them really quick, Shane.
Basically, the way this works is you have a chance of, you know, getting a Treasure Hunter card, or a deck of cards, rather, when you're on Treasure Hunter. Then when you do that, you need to, in further Treasure Hunter wins, you have until Tuesday, September 9th. To do this, you get a card for each of the skills, and then each card, you need to get a certain amount of XP. And then after you get XP in all 26 skills, and the more you complete moving to 26, so if you complete 15 rather than 26, your reward will be smaller, and you get a certain amount of skill, or a certain amount of XP in a skill of your choice.
Okay.
And once this ends, you'll have 1 month to work on the skill cards, and any remaining cards you have, you can use to still convert your XP reward. So you won't be able to obtain them, but you will be able to complete it for a month.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought this was kind of interesting, an interesting way of... doing XP bonuses compared to how they usually do, you know, make players work towards it, and just in general, a more interactive experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think this is better than just giving out XP in one fell swoop.
Maybe they're teaching the kids how to gamble, because we can't gamble anymore in RS.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It says ace of trades, but it's really not a gambling type thing here. So it's not that much to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
I think at least. So I've only got one card so far. I did it for farming. So you can do it for whichever skill you want, first of all. So do it for the easy one or the hard one first. It's really up to you. And at level 99, I had to get something like 12k XP.
Okay, doggy. Yep. I didn't get one yet, though. I haven't got any. I don't have it yet at all. So I can't really say what to do with it.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that's going to be nice to do, but definitely it's not one of those required treasure hunter things that you should try and get.
All right. And last but not least, eh?
Yep. Last but not least, the behind the scenes for September, which is a very, very busy month by the looks of it.
Yeah, so we have a interesting smorgasbord. So first things first, we have Elf City is coming out.
Whee! Which Elf City, the first batch, and we've been expecting that, which should be good. We got a question about that later, so we'll just jump straight on past that.
We have something Shane has been looking forward to since the beginning of a certain skill that was introduced. Grouping system.
Yeah. So basically, this from the video looks like it's going to be a way of grouping for mini games and events in general, bosses worldwide, so that you can essentially start a party and then all of you guys be teleported to the start spot at the right time and be ready to go. They quote 100% hassle free.
That's a lie. Oh, well, I'll see how it does with Dungeoneering before I say anything, but it's going to be interesting how they're going to do Dungeoneering properly.
Yeah. And, I mean, at this point, I don't know if Dungeoneering is something that they need to do, because I think at this point, people have their Dungeoneering groups all sorted out.
Not always. I still pug it. I think maybe people still do. It may reduce the amount of gold spammers, because obviously if you're not there, there's no reason for them to spam.
Yeah, I mean, and the level of granularity for this is, as two examples here, non-combat only stealing creation games, something you'll be able to search for, medium-sized warped Dungeoneering floors.
That's useless. Next.
Well, I mean, medium-sized warped Dungeoneering floors. Like, you're right, nobody will do that. But if you wanted to, you could search for it with that. And I just hope that their queuing system will be fast and usable. That's my two, you know, biggest concerns about it, is that it's quick and its usability is easy.
And then suddenly you realize every time you use this, the only one that uses are the idiots.
Well, you know, that could be a bit of a problem for Dungeoneering. I will say that, and maybe some other things as well, like Barbarian Assault. But, you know, I think we do need to give the RS population maybe a bit more of a chance these days. What do you think?
I'll wait till the update comes out and then see for myself. And we'll go from there. There's a lot of things that Dungeoneers do to get a group together, so it will be interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Also this month, peer resets for people who have a level that is less than 5 but greater than 1, who want to reset their defense skill. And you can also do it providing your total level in attack, strength, and defense must be 10 or greater. So this is specifically designed for peers who got a couple of accidental levels. This will not reset people who leveled up prayer for some... Okay, constitution and prayer. I'm sorry, I missed that. I was thinking summoning here, but summoning was indeed actually a part of the 200 combat level when that was there, so this is a moot point. You will be able to reset your prayer and constitution if you did level that up and you are a skilled peer. So I guess that's good for those people. You know, I was kind of hoping that you and I would get a crack at this. But evidently not.
But I don't know, Shane. I guess Jagex finally ran out of tissues. That's why they're doing this.
Why don't you tell everyone what you're referring to?
Oh, this was back in when EOC was first coming out, and they said this will basically get rid of peers. And of course, peers were, you know, crying foul, and Ahmad basically said he needs more tissues.
Yeah, Mark selling tissues 1 GP each or 1K each or something like that. I don't know, but otherwise, surprise September from the same people who brought you Super September and the RuneScape Road Trip. So more information coming on the first Iron Man and Hardcore Iron Man modes, in which Iron Man mode will basically mean you can't trade. You're effectively a do-it-yourselfer. This is colloquially known here as Metal Maniac 9 mode. And Hardcore Iron Man mode, where if you die, you will lose access to your RS account. More on this later in a question. Expert skill capes and seasonal high scores. So basically, if you're level 99, these are for people who have groups of 99s and similar skills. You find the shard items, one skill, and get level 99. They won't be common, so watch out for them. And this is basically giving people something to do pertaining to multiple skills at 99. And of course, two new site seasonal high scores. Most herbs grown, and solo Zilliana kill count.
Okay. That basically wraps it up, doesn't it? For behind the scenes for September.
Yep. Very packed month. I was kind of hoping for maybe a quest or something, but I guess not. So let's move on to questions.
Okay. First question. We have no audio questions this week, but first question is from KillzoneBM12. Hey, host, have you thought about making an Iron Man account? It seems like a fun time and rejuvenating way to play RS.
You know, I think this would be a very fun thing to do as a skiller, but it's really a shame that from the sounds of this, you're not going to be able to turn it on for an existing account. I know that would kind of, you know, undermine some of the features for it, but if you want to go, you know, 100% Iron Man or be self-sufficient from where you are right now, I think that would be an interesting thing to look at, because I don't know how many people want to create their own account again. You know, it just doesn't seem right.
I think people will. I think people, some people would. But this is, for me, no, I'm not going to bother with it. But it's basically copying Diablo 3 with Legendary mode. So, well, you know, Legendary mode, it makes it super, super hard. I don't think Jack is going to make the game super, super harder. So this will be interesting.
Exactly.
But it's just that. For me, I rather not, and you know, so I think some people would do it. First thing I would do if he ever gets into the wild is I would kill him.
Because you do lose access to your account. So imagine you have, you know, worked up to a party hat or something, and oh my gosh, completely gone. Oh my. Yeah. But I will admit, there is a merit to creating an Iron Man farming account. I would love to do that, but until I can do that on my same membership and not have to pay the $5 a month extra for it, it's just not something that I feel is worth it to me right now to do. But I would love to do it.
It would be interesting. It would be an interesting thing for free-to-play people, too. You cannot trade or anything. You're very solo, and just see how well you do as a solo free-to-play.
Exactly.
It would be hilarious.
But, you know, with RS3, when RS3 came out last year, one of the things I said, biggest things I was hoping for with RS3 is that, you know, we'd see multiple accounts or multiple characters per account in much the same way you can do with other MMOs, which never happened, so maybe that's a hidden update for this. I don't think so, but that would be nice to see. What do you guys think? Let me know in the questions for this. become a combat person, do bossing, Queen Black Dragon, God Wars, and whatnot on my main account, and then create an Iron Man account designed to level up farming and, you know, start from fresh and do it with bonds or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see.
Because, let's see, what's a bond at currently? I mean, let's see how long it would really take to earn that much money. So bonds are at 5.6 million. You need 11.2 million per month to fund membership for this. So that would definitely be a possibility. It's an easy thing to do, so maybe. I don't know.
Okay, that's I don't know.
Thank you, Kills.
I really don't know. All right. Okay.
Next one is from Tannis Half Elf 79. Dear host, what do you guys think about the amount of quests released this year thus far? Too few? Too many? Just right? He thinks it's just right.
He thinks just right. Wouldn't mind getting some more.
Yeah, I would prefer to have a couple more quests as well.
Let's just say we got the one quest that actually matters the most.
Yes,
see,
we
Shane
did.
Agrees.
We did. So, let's see. So far this year, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4. We've had 5 quests this year and 8 months. So, I mean, by the end of the year, we'll probably have 7 quests, so it's once every 2 months. I guess that's a okay number. Once a month would maybe be kind of pushing it if they were long quests and whatnot. But let's also remember that 3 of the quests released this year so far have been Grandmaster. So.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm finally caught up on all the quests, too.
Yeah. When we're approaching quest number 200, I wonder what they're going to be doing for that.
Oh, probably something with Sarah Doman.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Oh,
dang it.
Shut up.
See like a God quest or something. Maybe kind of like the same way Recipe for Disaster was, except slanted about the gods.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a good idea.
Maybe we'll start unlocking ourselves and kind of introduce like a little snippet on invention skill. Like, hey, you know, suddenly you can kind of touch base on it, take a look.
Yeah, that might be interesting, like a preview for invention. You give some ideas of what's going to come with that, if that's still on the roadmap for next year, which I think they would, because otherwise divination is just plain useless right now without its companion skill. Well, I mean, I don't think divination is useless, but it's not as useful as it'll be with invention.
Okay.
Thank you, Tannis. We both want more quests. And the last one is from Flash.
Nice.
Dear hosts, since you guys are so eagerly awaiting the release of Priftinas, I was wondering, what aspect of the city are you looking forward to the most? I know Shane's already going to say farming. For me, I'm definitely excited about the city in general, but I'd say the new farming patches and the Slayer Master are what I am most excited about. So what are you excited about?
Honestly, I'm more excited on rebuilding the city.
Yeah,
despite,
I mean
you know, whatever.
Kind of like what we said, this the quest was one thing, and you know, the next part is really the end of the quest, because the quest did complete itself, but without the city, we're not 100% complete now, are we?
Mm-hmm.
So
city's not gonna be completely done. So it'll be interesting. I want to rebuild. I do. I don't know why. Deep down, I just want to rebuild the city. Hopefully make it as glorious as it could be.
Okay. Well, I'm actually excited about the farming, as you say, but I'm also excited about the divination spots, the summoning spots, mm-hmm. the mining spots, the smithing spots, because these are skills that I have deliberately decided that I'm not going to train in the lead up to the release of the city, because summoning is close to 99, divination is close to 99, smithing is 90, mining is 90, and I feel as though if I went ahead and got 99 divination and 99 summoning as I could do this year so far, that would be just one less thing to do when Pristina is finally arrived. So it's the mining, it's the summoning and divination areas that I'm most excited about, and then mining and smithing are secondary, as are farming and herb lore as well, especially with the crystal flasks and all the stuff you're going to be able to do with those potions. Oh yeah, that's good. Oh yeah, that's good.
What was that?
I'm just excited about this city. It's an update that, you know, like you said, it felt like it should have been part of the quest, but it wasn't. And this is the final end. It's the finality of it all. I have a good analogy to make here, but I'm not going to make this analogy because I don't want to ruin the mood here. But yeah, those are my focuses, and I am looking forward to this greatly. Speaking of that, did the behind the scenes say which of the Witcher in Batch 1?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, the first four families. Let's see. Isleworth, which is Slayer. Okay, so that's going to be there. Kadarn, Max Guild. Cryus, which is Magic Trees. So that's the woodcutting one. And Traheron, which is smithing and mining. Okay, that's good. Splendid.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, Shane.
What don't you know?
I don't know what I'm most excited about. I just wonder.
Crystal tree patch. I mean, it's like everything's finally just coming true after all these years. That's what it feels like.
We should actually build a second white tree.
What was the white tree for again?
The Garden of Arrak, because the queen went and surprised the husband, and the husband said, and the king of Arrak said, "This is so ugly. Honey, come here." "What?" "Stupid boy. Say thank you and go back to your room." "Okay, honey."
Is that really what happened in that quest? The Garden of Tranquility quest? I don't remember that.
Well, the queen, after we built the whole thing, the queen came over and was like, "Honey, look at what we've made for you. These plants are ugly. I'm allergic to these. This tree is dumb. This is dumb. Honey, come here." "Yeah? Say thank you and shut up." "Okay. Thank you.
But they didn't actually slap the person, did they?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, she did.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. There was an animation in it. I remember.
I missed that.
Because I was rolling in my seat when that happened.
Okay, that was a pretty funny quest then, including that we stole a statue from Lumbridge and Falador. Or no. Yeah, one of each. Oh. All right. Well, that's it for questions, everyone. If you have questions and you want to submit, you can go to the forums, rsbmb.com/forums, and the topic will be up on Monday of where you can submit these. Or if you have an audio question, send those to questions at rsbmb.com. We also have Skype, RSBNB update. Leave us a voicemail there. Okay, so tech news. I see what you added there. You want to begin with yours? Or?
No, save that for last.
Alrighty. So the first piece of tech news this week is that Microsoft has released... Google has released a 64-bit version of Chrome for Windows. Previously, the 64-bit version of Chrome was in testing and in the beta program, and it's finally made it to the release candidate that everyone gets in Chrome 37. Now you might be asking, I don't have 64-bit after getting Chrome 37. What do I do? Well, in order to get the 64-bit version, you need to rerun the Google installer for Chrome to install the 64-bit version. And let me just say that if you don't use Java in your browser, that is, you play RS in the RuneScape downloadable client, you don't have any plugins that are really getting their teeth into Chrome and hooking in deep, you can probably upgrade to 64-bit safely. 64-bit also offers better decoding performance for web videos, so the HTML5 videos that you'll see on YouTube, Netflix, that sort of thing. And it also allows for a better security model, speaking of address space layout randomization, which can prevent buffer overflow attacks. So the 64-bit version is the next step in technology. You might notice it being a bit faster, and you might not. I've already noticed it faster in one specific application that we talk about quite often. Would you care to take a guess at what that is?
I have absolutely no idea.
The HTML5 RuneScape client.
That one is pretty dead, though. They haven't done anything in forever.
Well, there was an HTML5 engine update this week in the patch notes. And yeah, there was. Now, let me just say, I have a video card that is probably about 3 years old, I want to say. 3 or 4 years old. A 3 or 4 year old video card, a GTX 460. And I was running the HTML5 client, maxed out, medium draw distance, no shadows at a full 60 frames per second. So that is a significant boost for performance. Granted, shadows still kill the client because that's a poorly optimized area on Jagex's part, but it seems as though the 64-bit version of the browser is, you know, making things a bit better in terms of performance. So, you know, maybe this is a sign that the HTML5 project isn't completely dead.
Okay.
So if you use the ERS HTML5 client and you use the downloadable client when you play in Java mode, I would highly recommend you upgrade to the 64-bit version of Chrome. So, yeah, definitely look into doing this. It's where we're probably going to end up going in the future, and if you can do it, you might as well do it now.
Okay.
And this is Windows only. Unfortunately, no 64-bit version for Linux or OS X just yet.
All right. I don't know. I don't use Chrome that much. I still use Firefox, although everybody hates me for still using Firefox.
Yeah, you know, I think Chrome is the place to be these days, especially, you know, with 64-bit and a whole bunch of other things going on here. And Firefox itself is still a 32-bit application, I'm pretty sure, on Windows. I know it is the same on OS X, so that's another reason to be over in the Chrome camp. So just maybe have another look at Chrome, specifically the 64-bit version, if you're going to be playing around with the HTML5 client.
I use Chrome mostly for, you know, this kind of thing when I'm on podcasts with you, just because I have everything already good to set up. But I don't know. I just prefer Firefox. That's just me.
Okay. The next piece of tech news this week pertains to Google's drone program. So Google is getting in the drone business as well, just like Amazon. Why you say oh joy?
Because they're kind of following Amazon, and with Google Express, it would be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, basically, these are going to be drones to, you know, deliver packages and whatnot, and effectively make the delivery driver job obsolete. Google's project is called Project Wing. And basically what it does is it uses the same technology as a self-driving car, Flies a little drone. It's got about a 1.5 meter wingspan. It takes off like a helicopter and can land like a helicopter and can drop packages off at certain places. It doesn't fly very high. For example, in the city, it was flying 40 meters above the tree line, which, you know, is below the altitude at which aircraft fly, and from really interfering with anything. So, interesting to see that things going this way, I think, you know, because I think we kind of viewed it as a bit of an anomaly when Amazon first announced this, and now that Google has, it seems like this could very well be the way of the future.
Yeah, until someone decides, let's play catch the drones with a shotgun.
Yeah, you're right. So what if someone does something malicious and, you know, shoots down a Google drone or something like that that's carrying packages?
Actually, what would be smarter if they hacked into the Google drone network and start getting stuff into a P.O. box? Think about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, lots of issues like this are ultimately going to come up, but I think it's a good proof of concept at the end of the day. What about you?
I still prefer some brick and mortar, and I don't think it's a good idea because I have nowhere to hide it, and what are you going to do, put it on my roof?
Yeah.
And considering I got two elderly Asian people and lots of elderly Asian people in the area, if I see a drone coming to the house and start going, you know, this package is for you, I'm sure they would freak out and think the government is after them again.
Well, I mean, once you get used to it, it won't feel like that. But anyways, moving on from that, Apple confirms the next event where we will presumably see the iPhone 6 is being held on September 9th. And they say, we wish we could see more. Or no, wish we could say more. What do you think? iWatch? September. Some sort of accessory like that, maybe?
iPhone 6 or iPhone 7 iPhone number it is now.
iPhone 6 and updated iPods is pretty much a given at this point, I think.
People still use iPods?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen anyone use an iPod, but I know use cases for iPods such as going to the gym or for people who have Android smartphones who have their music library on iTunes, those kind of people. I know you give iPod touches to kids who you don't want to have cell phones. So, yeah, I guess people still use iPods in that regard, but I don't know. You think the iWatch will come out or something like that? Or some kind of accessory?
If it does, I am ashamed for the human race. I don't want a smartwatch. I would like a regular watch.
What do you mean a SWAT watch?
Smart watch.
Oh, I thought you said SWAT.
Kind of like the old saying, you know, you put so much into something that in the end you forget what it's all about.
Yeah.
I could put a whole bunch of stuff into the car. I can do this, I can do this, I can do that. And then, you know, you're kind of experiencing this in the U.S. really is that a car used to be about the adventure of going out somewhere and then having a fun time. Here is now how to get point A to point B to have the fun time. And it's driving is now seen more of a hassle than actually an activity in itself.
Yeah, or even an art to relieve stress, let's say, because self-driving cars, people won't have to drive anymore, right? And I know some people out there really do enjoy driving. So.
And then suddenly you wonder why they're crashing because I put it on cruise control. You know, that is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, September 9th, it's getting close. That is Tuesday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll change the world once again. Okay. Again.
All right, and last but not least, The creators of Pokemon just released a semi-interesting little video. It seems they partner up with Tekken to make an arcade game, an arcade Street Fighter type game that's going to be released in Japan next year.
With Pokemon in it, right?
I know. Who wouldn't want to be Pikachu and zapping some giant thing across the other side? Although
you know,
I'm wondering how. Yeah?
It's kind of like Pikachu and Super Smash Brothers and
Pikachu,
Pokemon Stadium.
Pikachu!
Do you remember Pokemon Stadium?
Everybody played Pokemon Stadium one way or another.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't play as much. I never had the game, but when I played it, it was nice. Pokemon Stadium was a huge hit back in the day, and I think they should make another one again.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite N64 game, second to probably GoldenEye.
And what was the thing? What was it? I think this one seems is an interesting concept. I'm wondering how they're going to do the strength and weaknesses stuff, because that's going to be kind of weird. But the other thing is also, I'm wondering how they will make this work, because I think it's right now it's only released in the arcade. So I'm wondering if this is going to be a pilot until they decide to either release it to the masses.
Yeah, and I guess do kind of have to, you know, answer the question that arcade games really aren't as popular as they once used to be. So, I mean, with that being said, you could probably just release it as a standalone game and it would be no problem. Anyways, would you buy something like this for a game system if it came around for the Wii U?
No, I would not buy it primarily because I don't have a Wii U and I'm sticking primarily to PC. But I think, you know, if someone bought it and they say, hey, come on over and give it a try, I'd probably come on over and try it out.
Yeah, it's,
but
it's
then again,
Pokemon.
Fighting games has never been for me because I always suck in those, like, really badly.
Yeah, you gotta have fast fingers for that.
I think they're trying to do like how there's a whole little thing for Street Fighters, a whole thing for Street Fighter where you can do all that kind of stuff. So, we'll see. I mean, people who play Street Fighter, they go nuts.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have a couple in our audience who play that game. If you know who you are and who I'm talking about, well, you can send in a question pertaining to that and tell us exactly why you like that game and how you keep your fingers from cramping up. All right, that's it for tech news. Moving on to Skill of the Month. Farming currently. Blatherskite is in first place now. He is winning by about 1 million XP in front of Brian, who is in second with 10.5 million XP. And the race below 1 and 2 is pretty much plateaued at this point. Third place is Imperial with about 1.7 million XP. Fourth is X-Blades with 782,000. I mean, 935,000. And fifth is Parnassius with 782,000. This is wrapping up, and it was a lot of farming XP gained this time around. So I am amazed at what you guys did. And like I said before, I didn't enter this for a number of reasons, but who knows, I might probably enter the next one. And the skill of the month for September is fletching. So if you're wanting to get some fletching XP, now would be a perfect time to start planning out on how you're going to do that.
Oh, so much fletching.
Yep,
anyway, I'm 90 something.
Oh, good.
Anyway, moving on next. We have achievements of the weekend. We have a nice little amount, don't we?
Yeah, we do. I'll start off. Marumska got 99 prayer on August 27th.
Dyer got 120 Dungeoneering on August 24th.
Woo! Sorensen 57 got four of them all on the 24th. The first two are crafting and fishing, both to 99.
And he also got 99 Hunter and 99 Woodcutting all on the same day. He had a little event very thing nice. Going on, didn't he?
Yeah. Very nice set of 99s and 120 there, everyone. Yay!
All right, and I guess we have my little thing. So, my Action Bar contest. I finally closed the poll after 2 weeks of voting, and we now have a very decisive winner. So, before we start, I want to give a very big special thanks to Parnassius and Uncle Dano, both of which donated 10 million GP to my cause. And I want to thank also everybody who participated in it. So, you ready for the winner?
Let's do it. Do it.
All right. In third place, we actually have a tie. We have Coltron and Kapai, who both got third place for their action bars. In second place, we have Flash for his action bar. And finally, the winner, first place, is RR Man. Congratulations to all four everyone. Of you. Mm-hmm. And the money that Uncle Dano and Parnassus helped donate to me, I put them into bonds. So RR Man and Flash, you both of you will get one free bond from me. Message me when we get into the game with a little small lump sum of cash. Caltron and Kapai, thank you both for entering. You're both going to get a small lump sum of cash from me. So, and you know, thank you for everyone for entered, and congratulations to everyone.
All right.
This was a nice little thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I think every so often we got to do these action bar competitions to really just highlight how versatile the action bar system is and RS3 in general. Is so you really can see quite a bit with this, so good work all around.
Okay, Shane, I think you have a pick.
Yes, I do have a pick. This week's pick of the week is a movie. It's a documentary. It's a documentary I think that everybody could ultimately end up getting excited about, especially if you're a science type person like I am, especially physics. The documentary is called Particle Fever, and it essentially showcases the build-up leading to the discovery of the Higgs boson at CERN through the Large Hadron Collider, and asks the question, what's next now that we found the Higgs? And what does it mean for us? What does it mean for the universe in general? And if you really do enjoy hard science and, you know, just seeing it in action and you want to get a glimpse into how this discovery was made, this is a very, very fun little thing to watch. I highly encourage everybody to watch it who is at the very least interested in science or physics or anything relating to astrophysics as well. So give it a watch. You can probably find it on YouTube or Netflix or other places like that, but definitely shows the excitement when something like that was found. And this is one of those humankind accomplishments where we say that, okay, we found something, it means this for us. Where do we go from here? What types of physics and science does this invalidate? What kind of science does this open the door to now that we've proven this, that yes, this does exist, and what kind of discoveries are around the corner? So give it a watch. I'm not going to spoil what it means, but anybody who watched the Higgs initial presentation might have a bit of an idea. So give that a watch. It's called Particle Fever.
All right. Thanks, Shane.
Yep. What have you been up to?
All right. What I've been up to? Well, besides us two doing Barbarian Assaults, try it out. I've been doing a bit of ports again. I've actually starting to. I did some soul reaping because I wanted to try on the bosses. Killed Queen Black Dragon a couple times. No luck on anything really, really good. Still need to work on doing better against the ghost that she spawns. I just need to work on those better. And what's the other thing? I am going to try and use up all my bonus points for prayer, because I sure as heck have a lot.
But you already have 99 prayer, don't you?
98.
Oh, okay. Do you have enough to get to 99?
Pretty sure I do.
Oh, that's good. Always nice to see 99s come from that, so I look forward to being able to announce that.
Actually, I do have to say, though, most of my 99s are coming from PlayerUnknown's Forest, because, you know, I always do the XP booklets that they offer. So I'm kind of like, that's how 98 Slayer snuck up on me. I was like, wait, I swear it was like I was 96 not so long ago. Like, where the... Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still at this phase of my ports where I'm getting the raw materials to upgrade crew and upgrade ships, that I really got to prioritize that over doing the XP missions. So, but anyways, that's good to hear. As for me this week, I did some Slayer and I did some Soul Reaping. The Soul Reaping was rather uneventful. But the Slayer involved me going to fight those demons that were released, the ones on the Daemonheim Peninsula that need 99 Dungeoneering, the Calgarian demons, or whatever they're called. And let's just say that those are an interesting thing to fight, because if you're wanting to farm the titles and whatever you need for Dungeoneering, then they're a good thing to fight, and they're a large Slayer task. But you practically need overload potions, or at the very least, lots of super magic and super defense potions to fight them. And, you know, it just kind of feels as though they're a waste in terms of the potions, because, true fact here, the Demon Slayer armor, I got a Demon Slayer skirt from this. It started out as high, listed as 100k on the exchange, now it's sold for what? Less than 10k. So that armor really, you know, is not that coveted. So I'm kind of thinking that maybe these things aren't worth it to be fighting. I'll reevaluate next time I get them to a task if they go on the block list or not. But I wasn't too impressed with how much it cost to fight these demons for that amount of Slayer XP. Especially that it took about 2 hours worth of time and 2 yaks worth and probably about 5 or 6 overload flasks. So keep that in mind when you're thinking of whether or not you do them. Have you ever got those as a Slayer task?
Nope. Okay. I haven't got a Slayer in a while, actually.
Well, something that I guess we could do. But aside from that, oddly done two clue scrolls this week, which was kind of weird. Got lots of those drops, nothing good. Zamorak Kite Shield is a depressing 129k now, unfortunately, but I guess that's what you get with items that have been in the game for upwards of about 7 years. So that's it for me.
Okay. I don't have anything else to really say. Congratulations, everyone. Send me a PM in the game or so we can get your prize. And congrats. And thank you again to Pranassi and Uncle Dano. Have fun. Happy RuneScaping.
All right. Thank you for listening. See you next week, everyone. Have a good week.